Welcome to Marvel.
Yeah. Turn me up. Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Cliff here. Week 8 is in the books. It is Monday morning. We're recording the intro a little early, so obviously still some matchups to be decided tonight. We have the Las Vegas Raiders set to take on my Detroit Lions. That's right. I will be sporting 3 Detroit Lions in my lineup to see if I can make a ridiculous comeback against Maddie. We'll see. I might have to re-record the intro of the podcast tomorrow because as of right now, it's not looking good. This fantasy season, if there ever was one, feels like a hate crime. I just hate it. I hate it. It's been fun. There's been definitely a lot of injuries to talk about this week, however, and we're going to start with that. I know last week I mentioned just how the backup quarterback position has really been influencing fantasy football and obviously NFL football as well in real life so much, and it's only gotten worse this week. Now, remember, we had no bye weeks this week, so we had a ton of backups already playing, and then some more just brutal injuries for our fantasy purposes and for a couple NFL teams out there. With Kirk Cousins going down to a torn Achilles, he's going to be out the rest of the season. It looks like there's an issue with Matt Stafford's thumb. I think it's his throwing thumb. Otherwise, you know, maybe he could play through it, but it looks like he might miss multiple weeks. Now, he's a tough dude. He usually plays through any type of pain, but if you have any issue on your throwing hand, as far as your fingers go, nearly impossible to play quarterback position. And oh, by the way, he wasn't playing it very well yesterday to begin with. But just add those two guys who were clutch for our fantasy purposes. You talk about Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee. Those three guys are going to be affected now if Stafford's going to be missed for multiple weeks, maybe go on IR to get that thumb fixed. You talk about Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. They were actually going to make a playoff push. They still won the game yesterday. They have a very easy schedule the next like 6 games. They're 4-3, 6 winnable games moving forward. And you talk about already no Justin Jefferson, but at least we could count on Hockenson and Addison. Definitely not Madison. All the sins. But it's going to be a lot different now. Does Justin Jefferson hurry to come back? Probably, because again, they're still going to be in it, and we'll see, but it's going to be very different with Kirk Cousins not at the helm, averaging over 300 passing yards per game, was just fantastic for fantasy purposes. The Vikings did get their first rushing touchdown of the day yesterday. Cam Akers gets into the end zone. I should say falls into the end zone. Wasn't a great game from either Madison or Cam Akers. We'll get into the studs and duds a little bit later. One of those boys is definitely on the duds list. Taylor is has probably had enough with Alexander Madison by now. But let's take a look real quick. These are all the teams that played this week that had a backup quarterback playing for them. We have the Arizona Cardinals, the Chicago Bears, Minnesota Vikings after Kirk Cousins went down, the Pittsburgh Steelers with Kenny Pickett going down, the Los Angeles Rams, the Atlanta Falcons, Desmond Ridder sat out the second half of the game. In comes Taylor Heinicke. Obviously, the New York Jets have had Zach Wilson in there all year. We'll see about the Raiders tonight. I'm not sure if Jimmy Garoppolo is playing, but add the Raiders to the list. They've had a backup the last couple weeks. The New York Giants, they're on their third string quarterback now with Tyrod Taylor out, getting knocked out yesterday, and they threw for a whopping -9 yards -9 yards, folks. That includes sacks. So if you want to take the sacks out of it and just get the true passing yards for the New York Giants yesterday, 7 yards passing. And the Jets barely beat them. They needed to go to overtime. I'm embarrassed. But Zach Wilson gets it done nonetheless. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Moving on, the Cleveland Browns. They still have a backup quarterback in there, PJ Walker. Looks like his time might be coming to an end. Tough game for him yesterday. We have the Tennessee Titans. My goodness, out of nowhere, that's got to be Will Levis's music. He comes in and throws 4 bomb touchdowns. You know, all the scouting reports said that Will Levis is looking like a dud prospect. Always had the arm talent, but not ready for NFL football, blah, blah, blah. Like, come on, man. How does this coaching staff not see this stuff in practice? If the kid's got an arm, at least put him out there. You were really going to start Malik Willis? Oh, my gosh. So Tannehill is banged up. They're still, you know, I guess you could say Levis is their third string quarterback. But nonetheless, a few of these options maybe are better than the starter. So and then last but not least is the Indianapolis Colts. This one isn't so bad for fantasy purposes. Richardson out for the year, and Gardner Minshew is definitely giving value to Pittman and Downs, and that's pretty much it. But at least he can sustain a drive here or there and give Jonathan Taylor some purpose in fantasy. So yeah, I mean, that is, if you lost count, that is over 12 teams that are now dealing with backup quarterback positions. And you saw last night, a primetime Sunday night game with the Chicago Bears and no Justin Fields. Just disgusting product right now for the NFL, unfortunately. And we don't know what to do with some of these fantasy options. So that's the big main storyline heading into week 9 here is, you know, with these new backups coming in, what do we do with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp? I mean, probably starting them, right? We play in a double flex position league, so your depth is probably not that great where you can afford to sit these guys, especially with bye weeks are coming back this week. So, but, you know, Jordan Addison and guys like that, KJ Osborne, I mean, you're really going to fire up KJ Osborne now with no Kirk Cousins? Probably not. So, yeah, I can't wait to see what we do. This is called in the trenches right now. Fantasy football is in a weird spot, and, you know, anybody that has a healthy quarterback at this point, I mean, I have Trevor Lawrence on my bench who's been terrible for fantasy football, but you know what? Maybe I'll take the 14 fantasy points from QB position without, you know, without guys like Cousins and Stafford. No more streaming options out there, really. So, yeah, we're in a weird position right now for fantasy, and we're going to really see who's going to deep dive into some of these statistics and their lineup decisions. So we do have at least one matchup. Again, I'm recording this on Monday morning. One matchup has been finished. I will go over that shortly. But through the magic of podcasting, I can go ahead and say it's time for the matchup of the week. Let's get to it. Boom. Welcome into the matchup of the week. I did not want to do this. I thought about it. I had other options. I did not want to do this. What? Matchup of the week. Who's it gonna be? Boom, 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 boom. Mr. Faraday, take it on. Teddy Bears. We begin in Detroit. Mr. Faraday takes the win. 114-97. I had to do it. Back-to-back matchups of the week. Last week, I beat Alicia, my arch nemesis. That was huge for the Build-A-Bear Bowl. We had scored the most points last week. And this week, I got a couple thank yous from a few members already. Taking down the number one team, 7-0, the Teddy Bears were. But here we are. Finally gets his first loss, Matty Rivers. Let's take a look at my team real quick. It starts with none other than those Detroit Lions. They put up 56 points for me last night combined. on the back of Jahmyr Gibbs. On that first drive, when he got 7 touches, I knew I had a chance. 152 yards rushing on the ground. Sprinkled in 5 receptions for 37 yards. That's an extra 6 points right there just in receiving. And he finally gets in the end zone. Still not considered the goal line back by any means, but we have to see what's going on when David Montgomery comes back, expected to come back after the bye week coming up. And if I'm Dan Campbell, there's just no way I give all the work back to Montgomery. This kid's explosive. Jahmyr Gibbs, high draft capital. You have to start using him. 50-50 split minimum, if not 60-40, with Montgomery still maintaining that goal line work. As far as my dud goes, easy peasy, Tony Pollard. 53 rushing yards on the ground. Just uninvolved in the passing game in a positive game script where they should have just been running the clock out. He is the running back 18 on the season. My number one draft pick. Him and Garrett Wilson were back-to-back for me, so call it number one or number two draft pick. But Tony Pollard looks like he was better when he had Zeke, when he came off the bench and was spelling Zeke. He's just not getting it done right now. 6 fantasy points, and he's only got 1 touchdown on the year. Not great for Tony Pollard. Nonetheless, I put up 114. Heading over to the Teddy Bears. 97 points, one of his lower scoring performances. He's dealing with injuries, folks. Kirk Cousins goes down this week. Justin Fields was already banged up and injured. He's going to be out this week. He had Kyren Williams injured and on IR. Also, he's got Cooper Kupp, who is tied to Matthew Stafford, who is injured. So he's going to be dealing with a lot of weird performances here. You know, Cooper Kupp is not going to be the same without Matt Stafford if he misses time. So we'll see moving forward if the Teddy Bears can maintain that dominance in the first half of the season. Let's take a look at his squad, though. Definitely some decent performances here, but just not that big blow-up game. We're going to go, how about Derrick Henry, 14 fantasy points, 101 yards on the ground. Sprinkled in 4 receptions for 21. That's why he's the, your stud. 4 receptions for Derrick Henry is always great. He's amazing in the screen pass. If you can get it to him and have at least 1 or 2 blockers downfield, he always gets it done for you. And maybe some new life for the Titans with Will Levis at quarterback. If he's going to be a threat to bomb it downfield, it should open up things for Derrick Henry if he doesn't get traded. As far as your duds go, you had a chance last night, Jakobi Meyers. It was all 3 of my Detroit Lions versus your Jakobi Meyers, and you had about a 30-point lead, and Jakobi gave you a dud, man. 2 fantasy points, 1 for 19. The Raiders just, oh, man, one of the most mediocre teams in the league. It's funny because it seems like Josh McDaniels is trying to, I guess, replicate what he had with the Patriots, and it looks like they're kind of the same team. I mean, they got very mediocre players. Davante Adams looks completely checked out. We'll get to that when we get to Elliott's team, but they should have a fire sale and have a true rebuild because Jimmy Garoppolo is just not the guy. I don't think Josh McDaniels is the guy. Second stint as a head coach, and they don't ever flash. I mean, you have 3 wins this year, and that's, I think they could have had less. But we'll get into that another time. But, yeah, as far as your dud goes, Jakobi definitely did not help your purposes. So with that said, Teddy Bears still moved to 7-1. He's in a very comfortable position. He's going to shake this off, so to speak, and he'll be fine down the road. But he's got to deal with these injuries to his quarterbacks and running backs. I'll take the win here, 114, and move to 2-6. We're in the Build-A-Bear Bowl. I have a nice little cushion here with Jason taking a loss this week as well as Alicia, and I am well ahead of them in points. So we will get into those teams a little bit later. But nice matchup, Maddie. Our next two matchups were in, you know, top consideration for matchup of the week. I wanted to go with these matchups, but I felt like in the grand scheme of things, the winners of these matchups, you know, have really good records. It's almost kind of like they're supposed to win, and they just took care of business. So we'll call these next two matchups business trips for the winners. And it starts with the Zen Crusaders taking on Elliot in the Hunt. And in the Hunt squeaks out a win on Monday Night Football, 107-104. Let's take a look at Elliot's team. He was sweating out a couple points here from Davante Adams. And, you know, we talked about in the matchup of the week how checked out Davante Adams looks. A couple drops here and there, but, you know, it's also Josh McDaniels not scheming him open. He can't get the ball like he's always gotten it in years past. I mean, what's the difference between last year and this year? He was elite last year, and he's completely fallen off. I'd love to see the Raiders trade him, get anything they can for him. I'm sure they could get a second-round pick, possibly, maybe two-thirds, and it would be much better for the Raiders at this point. They're going nowhere fast, and that's going to be your dud is Davante Adams. He almost ruined you last night, so gotta make him your dud. As far as your stud goes, man, I could always pick Tyreek Hill, 21 fantasy points, 8-for-112, and a touchdown. But we're going to go, I think it's more important for Elliot that we go Joe Mixon as your stud. 18.5 fantasy points. The Bengals looked much better. Joe Burrow's looking more healthy. And how about Joe Mixon with 87 yards and a touchdown on the ground? 3 catches for 23 in the air. And this is the Joe Mixon that you kind of, you know, wanted on draft day. Now, he's only the running back 22 on the year. But I think this could start a nice little run. They play the Buffalo Bills next, who don't have a great run defense. They play Houston after that. So it's looking like Joe Mixon could really help sustain Elliott's success here. And I'm sure he's excited to have his potential, you know, back end RB1 back in the fold. As far as the Zen Crusaders, Chris Roach takes the loss here. 104 points, though, obviously triple digits, you know, is great. Again, no bye weeks this week, so maybe, you know, it looks like triple digits is not the benchmark for a win. You kind of need to hit that 110, 115 mark to kind of, you know, go for that win. So as far as his stud goes, we're going to go Tyler Lockett randomly back in the mix for the Seahawks. The first place Seahawks in the NFC West. After the 3 straight losses by the Niners, all of a sudden the Seahawks are in the driver's seat in that division. We'll see how long that lasts. But Tyler Lockett, 18 fantasy points, 8-for-81 and a touchdown. And there was room for all 3 receivers. JSN had a touchdown today, or I'm sorry, Sunday as well. And although DK Metcalf didn't have a great game, he had 14 targets. So that just shows that, you know, against a really good defense in Cleveland, there's enough space for all 3 of these wide receivers if Geno's going to be slinging the ball like that. So, again, you know, Metcalf could have had a better day, but you like the targets, and it looks like it was a Lockett day today with the 18 fantasy points. As far as your dud goes, we're going to go James Cook, and not his fault, really. 7 fantasy points, 67 yards on the ground. He looked pretty good on the ground, but we're not getting the receptions we want. And for some stupid reason, the Buffalo Bills go ahead and sign Leonard Fournette. Now, is this a move to replace the Damian Harris? Maybe Damian Harris is done for the year. Remember, he came from the Patriots and he got injured. You know, so maybe it's just a depth move, but you have to wonder if all the failed attempts at the goal line from Latavius Murray, maybe those are going to go to Leonard Fournette now. And then we hope that James Cook is still going to be the in-between-the-20s guy. I still just cannot understand the old adage of, oh, we're at the 3-yard line. Better give it to the old, big, bruising running back who is too slow to hit a hole and doesn't move the pile. Anyway, you're not moving a pile with, you know, unless you're Derrick Henry against these 350-pound linemen. So I always think it's better you know, give it to the quicker guy who will get to the line of scrimmage faster and find the holes. And, you know, yards before contact is important, I think. And it's just annoying that James Cook doesn't even get a shot at the goal line. So I guess the Buffalo Bills are, you know, their answer is going to get another old running back, old slow running back. So we'll see what happens in that backfield, but it could get ugly. I like Latavius Murray. He's a good veteran, good locker room guy. He's been around the league, but, you know, it looks like his role is probably going to diminish more than James Cook, but we'll see. Again, James Cook's your dud here, so it's not like he was putting out a lot of fantasy points, 7 fantasy points. So, Roach is going to take the loss here and move to 3-5 while in the hunt. Again, squeaks out a win and continues on to 7-1 in the league. That is 3 teams now atop their divisions, standing at 7-1. Our next matchup is going to be the Chicken Tendies. Josh taking on the Pillar Fire Tom Beggs. Josh takes the win. Not so much in dramatic fashion last night, but takes the win nonetheless. 126-111. Only needed a couple points from Mr. Josh Jacobs. And Jacobs got his, I believe, his first half touchdown and kind of sealed the deal for Josh. So I believe Josh went to sleep. Didn't see him in the chat at all. And he was able to rest easy, picking up the win here. Let's take a look at his squad. Welcome back to the mix, Austin Eckler. Now, weird stat line here for Eckler against Chicago. A great matchup, only 29 yards on the ground and a fumble. If you told me before the week started, hey, as far as stats go, Eckler, 29 yards rushing and a fumble, you'd probably sit him. But that would be a mistake. 7 receptions for 94 yards and a touchdown through the air. This is the old Austin Eckler when he used to spell Melvin Gordon and they'd be in the 2-minute drills all the time. So he took a screen pass to the house on Sunday. Semi-lucky. Without that big play, his stat line would have been pretty bad. But 19.8 fantasy points here. And it's good to see Austin Eckler back in the fold. I just like rooting for Eckler. He's such a a known presence in the fantasy football community. As much as information as he can give about himself, his injuries, and his team, he usually does. Back when he got hurt earlier in the year, he told people, hey, go pick up Josh Kelly. He couldn't say anything like, hey, I'm not playing this week. But by him saying, go pick up Josh Kelly, I remember Josh Kelly went out there and had himself a good game. I know he's kind of fell off since, but Austin Eckler is always there to help the fantasy community when needed. None of this like weird coach speak where, you know, I'm feeling good this week. And then he goes on IR for 4 weeks. So Austin Eckler, a beloved member of the fantasy community. As far as your dud goes, a couple options here, but Christian Kirk, just a weird game. Jaguars win. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 20-10, but just an odd game for Christian Kirk. He's been killing it all year. He's the wide receiver 18 on the season. So, after a dud week one where he only had 1 fantasy point, he's been above 11 fantasy points for the next 6 games. Here he puts up 6.6 fantasy points. Kind of just wasn't needed. Unfortunately, as a Trevor Lawrence owner, and I drafted him, he's just not getting the touchdowns because everything is going to Travis Etienne. Anytime Etienne has multiple rushing touchdowns or even a good game, all the other fantasy options are really kind of taking a backseat to him. So today or Sunday's game just wasn't Christian Kirk's day, not super needed. So better days ahead for him. Most likely this Thursday, I believe, are they playing the who are they playing? Now I need to know. I thought they were playing the Titans. They are playing San Francisco after the bye. So you got some time here. Christian Kirk will, you know, get a little healthier. Maybe he's banged up a little bit, but better days ahead for Christian Kirk. As far as Tom's team, 111. Not bad. Not a bad score. You would have beat a couple other teams in the league for sure. I know that doesn't make you sleep better at night, but let's take a look at your squad. How about the Gus Bus? Beep, beep. Gus Edwards, 28 fantasy points. He actually, just like Travis Etienne, he ruined everyone's fantasy day for everyone on the Ravens except for him. 80 yards on the ground and 3 rushing touchdowns. So Zay Flowers was useless in fantasy. Lamar Jackson was useless in fantasy. I believe, Mark Andrews had an okay day but for tight ends, 4 for 40, but he did get a touchdown. So yeah, it was just one of those things where although the game was closer than we thought against Arizona, you know, the Ravens won 31-24. Most of those 31 points went to the Gus Bus. So he's definitely the guy. He's taken over in the absence of J.K. Dobbins. And yeah, it looks like Justice Hill is more just the third down and 3 minute back. The big bruiser, veteran running back, gets the 3 touchdowns for the Ravens. Hey, at least he gets into the end zone. I wouldn't care if Latavius Murray on the Bills was just this can't miss goal line. Every time he touches it at the 2-yard line, he gets a touchdown. Great. But it just sucks when you have James Cook sitting there and he doesn't even get a chance. It could work out, but Gus Bus gets it done here. As far as his dud goes, we kind of have a mess here in Chicago. So I'll put both Bears players, DJ Moore and Foreman. You know, obviously last week, Foreman with the huge week, he kind of lucked out there. He had himself a Gus Bus performance last week. We're in a weird position. Justin Fields already not going to play this coming week in week 9. So what do you do? You know, Roschon Johnson is back. So what do we do with Deontay Foreman? Do we keep firing him up? Obviously, Khalil Herbert possibly coming back in the next couple weeks as well. It's gonna be bad for fantasy, I think. We'll see who his next matchup is. Looks like it's gonna be, yeah, at New Orleans. Not a great matchup for Foreman, but I think we have like another 6 bye weeks coming up in week 9, which sucks, by the way. I don't know why the NFL is doing 2 6 team bye weeks. But we'll see. I think you know, Tom struggling with Miles Sanders, definitely a purgatory player. Maybe he even drops him this week. He has Miles Sanders on his bench. And so it looks like he might have to fire up Deontay Foreman going forward. And DJ Moore just not looking himself without Justin Fields. 7 fantasy points here. So yeah, 111 points for Tom. He does move to 4-4 on the season. So he's still right there on the doorstep. And Chicken Tendies, he's the third 7-1 team. 3 of those guys, himself and Elliot and Maddie, all leading the division at 7-1. Nice matchup here, boys. Our next matchup is going to be the Yeeters Skeeters. Jason taking on Sweet Chick Music. Joe Chick. 143-83. Chick blows out Jason. Let's take a look at Chick's team. His dud. We'll start with the dud this time. Patrick Mahomes. Listen, it is what it is. There is an excuse built in, and this is something that you want to hear. Apparently, Mahomes did have the flu. He's out there in 20-degree weather in Denver. As a Patrick Mahomes owner myself in a keeper league, I'm happy to hear this because this is one of his worst performances we've ever seen. No touchdowns thrown for Patrick Mahomes, 241 yards and 2 interceptions, 5 fantasy points. So it's just good to know that there's a built-in excuse here, and he's clearly going to be much better moving forward. No issues there. He's still the QB4 on the year, averaging 19.5 fantasy points per game. So obviously, the average is going to take a hit a little bit here, but he's never going to put up a dud like this besides injury again. So, moving on. Could go a couple different places as far as a stud. Epic performance from George Kittle. It's the back and forth seesaw from our two tight ends, Waller versus Kittle. Excuse me, versus Kittle. 19 fantasy points. But we're going D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins. What a start. What a start. I can't believe he had the stones to start DeAndre Hopkins, and he benefited here. 32 fantasy points, 4 catches, 128 yards on 3 touchdowns. Now, that's not sustainable. That's not going to happen again. But Will Levis, is going to bring some extra value in with DeAndre Hopkins. If I were the Tennessee Titans, now maybe they're a little too proud and they want to kind of keep going, see if they can sneak into the playoffs or maybe you know, catch the Jags in that division. I would trade Derrick Henry for a high draft pick. Let Tajay Spears take over. Let Will Levis take over. Maybe you could trade Tannehill to the, you know, whatever, the Rams or the Vikings. They lost two quarterbacks. But go young, and then you keep DeAndre Hopkins. And why do you keep DeAndre Hopkins? So you can help grow Will Levis. You can't trade his pass catchers. Trading Derrick Henry, it is what it is. I think Tajay Spears would be great as a workhorse running back, but you don't want to trade the pass catchers. You want Will Levis to be able to grow. I think it's worth it to just keep D-Hop right where he is. And for fantasy purposes, Joe Chick's going to be happy about that. He just acquired DeAndre Hopkins last week, and he goes off. So it just a very good start by him. He could have started Michael Thomas, who seemed like a safer choice. Even Devin Singletary. You know, I bet you, I don't know what his thought process was, but, you know, Devin Singletary has been kind of splitting the work now in Houston in a great matchup against Carolina. Maybe do I just flex Singletary to try to sneak in a touchdown? No, he went for upside DeAndre Hopkins. Excellent start there, my friend. Let's go to Jeter Skeeters. Only 83 points this week. Man, as far as injuries and just some weird situations for Jason's team. Let's take a look at his stud. Welcome back to Fantasy Relevance, Jalen Waddle, 7 for 121 and a touchdown. He did have Tua as well. He got that stack. Just unfortunately, that's the only bright spot of your team. Tua, 21 fantasy points, 324 yards through the air and 3 touchdowns. As far as your dud goes, man, This has got to be it for Aaron Jones. I mean, I don't know if he's still just banged up or if this is just the new version of him, but 29 yards on the ground, 6 fantasy points. He is now the running back 45 on the season. Every time you start Aaron Jones, who I have him in a keeper, he is crushing you. He's had one good game, which was the opening week where he got hurt, 25 fantasy points. Other than that, he missed three games so far, and his other games have been less than 7 fantasy points. So Aaron Jones is crushing fantasy teams right now. Welcome to fantasy purgatory, man. Can't start him, can't trade him, can't cut him. So we'll see you moving forward what Jason does. He does have Kareem Hunt on the bench, so he could go back to an all Browns starting lineup with Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt, and you know, we'll see how that works. But at least you can lock up the backfield in those touchdowns. But you guys know how I feel about starting multiple players from the same team, because I know he has Elijah Moore as well. So all they do is eat off each other, man. There's not enough pieces of the pie. So Jason does take the loss here, moves to 1-7 on the year. And Joe Chick, maybe a late run. The simulator loved his team. He just wasn't getting wins, but he's putting up a ton of points. The high score this week with 143. He is now 3-5. Man, that record does not show how good Joe Chick's team is. And I think he's going to be right there. He's got bye weeks, definitely bye week issues. And don't forget, he's got James Conner on IR. So, you know, he's got help on the way as well. And putting up 143 and having guys like James Conner ready to roll is, that's going to help. That's going to help. So with that said, this is a decent matchup. And again, Jason's going to find himself in last place right now in the Build-A-Bear Bowl. And Joe Chick making a push for the playoffs. All right, our next matchup is going to have huge implications on both the playoff bracket and the Build-A-Bear Bowl. It's going to be Unleash the Beast taking on Gage Dixienormous. And Gage takes the win over Alicia, 118-73. This one was not close, folks. Let's take a look at Gage's team. his stud, none other than AJ Brown. This is becoming a week in and week out thing for AJ Brown. 29 fantasy points, 8 catches, 130 yards receiving, and 2 touchdowns. That is now 5 touchdowns on the year, but he's a player that's getting it done where he doesn't necessarily even need the touchdowns. That's just icing on the cake. AJ Brown is now your wide receiver number 2 overall in fantasy football, obviously behind Tyreek Hill. But my goodness, what a day for AJ Brown. The Eagles do squeak by the Washington Commanders in an awesome game. 38-31, great for fantasy football, great for the NFL. You know, the Commanders put up a fight. They were winning most of that game, and AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts and crew find a way to get it done. Some definitely honorable mentions here. Dalton Kincaid, on Thursday night, 15 fantasy points at the tight end position. Man, the tight end position is kind of looking good. And I know, like, there are years past where we've said that, and then all of a sudden the next week players start to not pan out. But if you look at the state of the tight end position right now, it's pretty deep. Obviously, we have to monitor, like, Waller's injury. He's going to be out probably a couple weeks with a hamstring. But you got guys like Dalton Kincaid. I mean, Gage alone had Cole Kmet on his bench, who's had a pretty good season. 12 fantasy points on his bench. You got guys, on the Arizona Cardinals. I'm blanking on his name. It is Trey McBride. Just some of these, Laporta, Musgrave, a lot of these young tight ends are now very usable for fantasy. And the state of the tight end position is looking better than the state of the quarterback position for the first time in I can't tell you how long. Maybe way back since the days of Jimmy Graham, Gronk, and Kelsey, when they were kind of running the league at the tight end position. But, these guys are all very usable and startable for fantasy football. So nonetheless, huge win here for Gage as he puts up 118 points. Moving on to Alicia's team, another dud performance by her guys. There was a lone bright spot, and I do think it's Josh Downs, who continues to get it done with Gardner Minshew. Josh Downs is now the wide receiver 31 on the season, so a high-end wide receiver 3, if you will. 7 catches, 72 yards, good for 10 fantasy points. Obviously, if you had a touchdown, it'd make it look a little better, but I like the volume. You can't always predict touchdowns, but 7 catches for 72 yards is great against a stout New Orleans defense. So it looked like most of the attention was on Michael Pittman this week, and that's going to happen every single week. Downs should get that one-on-one coverage, and it looks like he's doing a very good job for the Indianapolis Colts and for Alicia's team. Again, a lone bright spot this week. Just a lot of dud performances, including Travis Kelce, 8 fantasy points here, 6 for 58. We look at Damian Pierce in a great spot going against a terrible run defense in the Carolina Panthers. All he can get is 46 rushing yards, good for 4.6 fantasy points, uninvolved in the passing game. Now, he did score a rushing touchdown that was called back on penalty. And then the very next play, the fullback for the Texans gets the touchdown. So obviously his day would look a little better. You're looking at 10 fantasy points instead of 4. But still, Damian Pierce, one of the biggest busts in fantasy football this year. I have him on 2 of my teams. And it's just one of those things. Starting running backs are hard to come by. So we keep starting guys like this, and they're just not getting it done. So not a good performance from Damian Pierce, among others on her team. Even Lamar Jackson in a win against the Cardinals, 31-24, only 11 fantasy points. So just another down week for Alicia here. She moves to 1-6 on the year. And Gage moves back up to, I'm sorry, Alicia's going to be 1-7 on the year. And Gage moving on up, 5-3 on the year, making noise. He's going to have a quarterback problem. He's got Matthew Stafford as his quarterback, so he's going to be hunting for a quarterback. hit me up on the DMs. I got a couple quarterbacks, baby. Don't worry. Send me a trade offer and I got you, bro. But I'm going to be asking for maybe something a little lucrative. I do see you have Brock Purdy on your bench, so maybe you fire him up. But nonetheless, congratulations to Gage and Alicia. Ooh, 1-7. I can't say that I'm rooting for you because I'm right there with you. All right, our next matchup is going to be between Ball Too Well, Taylor's version, and Greg's team. And I misspoke. Greg's team actually is the number one team on the week with 157 points to Taylor's 114. So, yeah, 157. Nice week here. And I did the unthinkable. I had Dak Prescott locked in my lineup on like Wednesday, maybe Thursday. And of course, I dropped him for Jared Goff, who did okay for me last night, but this worked out great for Greg. He picks up Dak Prescott for free. Dak puts up 28 fantasy points along with the stack of CeeDee Lamb, who puts up 35. This is the CeeDee Lamb that we expected as a second round prospect in fantasy drafts. 12 for 158 and 2 touchdowns. He is now the wide receiver 11 on the season. He's really taken over that offense. Tony Pollard, you know, like we talked about in my matchup, not getting it done. I wouldn't say a bust, but for what I paid for Tony Pollard, a second round draft pick, I'd much rather have CeeDee Lamb at this point. So excellent draft pick by Greg here, 35 fantasy points. As far as your dud goes, hard to pick a dud when you score 157, but there is somewhat of a dud here on the squad, and it's Jaylen Warren. I'd say it's more chalk it up as the Steelers offense is kind of just back to being pathetic. You saw Kenny Pickett go down, which who would have thought when he goes down and Mitch Trubisky comes in, it's not the same offense. So I guess that means it, you know, it's pretty good for the Steelers that Pickett's sustaining fantasy value for multiple guys. And, you know, Pickett goes down, Trubisky in, and Jaylen Warren just wasn't involved here. 19 rushing yards, you know, threw in a couple receptions, but that offense just isn't efficient. And he's still splitting work with Najee, but you can still consider Jaylen Warren a flex. You know, we play in a double flex league, so you know, you could always throw him in your lineup if needed. And obviously he is a premier handcuff if there ever was one. But Greg takes the win here. Moving on to Taylor's team. Tough loss, 114 points is great. Nothing else you could do. You would have beat multiple teams on the week. I know that doesn't help you sleep better at night, but that seems to be the theme, by the way. Some folks slept really well. Josh on Monday Night Football after the touchdown from Josh Jacobs. And Taylor, not so much. So let's take a look at Christian McCaffrey. 26 fantasy points, adds 2 more touchdowns to his totals. Unbelievable. He's probably going for the record. I think the record is 18 straight games with a touchdown. So let's see if he can continue that. I'm sure the Niners would like to be winning some of these games. They're on a 3-game skid, but it's definitely not Christian McCaffrey's fault. 26 fantasy points, 54 yards on the ground, and 2 total touchdowns, 1 through the air, 1 on the ground, 64 receiving yards. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey maintains the running back 1 position. As far as your dud goes, got to talk about it. Alexander Mattison, 31 rushing yards on the ground, completely splitting work now with Cam Akers. Kirk Cousins out for the year. So what's this offense going to look like? The Vikings finally in week 8 get their first rushing touchdown of the year. I kept telling Taylor, it's going to come around. It's going to come around. Just the math checks out. Eventually they're going to get rushing touchdowns. They can't sustain these touchdowns just through the air. And of course, goes to Cam Akers. So I am a Madison owner in my big money league. And, it's not been fun. It's not been fun. I think I have to start making the switch. I have Chuba Hubbard on my bench. I might have to start him over Alexander Mattison moving forward. We just don't know what that offense is going to look like without Kirk. But I know, very frustrating for Alexander Mattison. You know, a mid-round pick in fantasy drafts. He is the running back 26 on the season now. So not giving you what you thought you were going to get. She did have, you know, She's got some promise, though, in weeks coming. Trey McBride on the bench, 20 fantasy points. So a little breakout game from Trey McBride with Kyler Murray not set to come back this week for some stupid reason, even though he's practicing in full. But looks like he could be back in the next 2 weeks. If he's not back this week, he has to come back in 2 weeks. Otherwise, his window will close and he'll be out for the season. So they only have 21 days when they get activated from IR. And so we're looking for a Kyler Murray comeback to sustain some of these fantasy guys like Hollywood Brown and Trey McBride. James Conner is going to be coming back. So maybe we can get a little Rondo Moore in there, a little flex option. So, you know, Taylor, 114 points. Again, just bad luck here going against the juggernaut that is Greg's team. So Taylor moves to 4-4 on the season. Still, you know, on the outside looking in, but she's right there on the doorstep. And Greg's team also moving to 4-4. So they're battling. This was a big matchup here. And Greg puts up not only a win, but that 157 points. Scoring that many points, it's almost like another half win we talked about. Because in our league, you know, you want to win your division. But after that, if you don't win the division, it goes to points. So, you know, record and points, I should say. But the points are a big tiebreaker. So nice job on this matchup. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Week 8 is in the books. Good luck, everyone, with these injuries and bye weeks coming up. I was looking at my team. I cannot field a starting roster as of right now, which always is scary. I have $0 in fab, so I can't even I can't make any moves. It's a terrible feeling, but I sold out for the win against Maddie. And sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And so, yeah, we're going to be seeing some nasty boys in those lineups. A couple of you know that reference. So enjoy week 9, and I'll see you on the other side.